All right. Good morning. My name is Kyle Johnston, and I get the opportunity to speak this morning, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Like Mark mentioned, Brandon and Lacey, today is Haven's fifth birthday, and so they and the family, they're taking a day to just be together as a family. So remember them, pray for them. Wonderful family, and they wanted to send their love, and they will see you next week. Amen. All right. For the last several weeks, we've been in a series about parenting and family. And our elders, Brandon, Mark, and Bob, have done a fantastic job bringing these fantastic sermons about the role of a husband, role of a wife, parenting, all this kind of stuff. It's been a great series for us. And today, I want to take a step actually further for us as a church. And we're going to talk about the family of God. And so let me say a prayer and we'll get into this. Father, I do thank you that we can call you Father. And God, I do ask that you minister this morning. I pray that you touch each one of us with your word, with your thoughts, with your spirit, God, with your presence, with your touch. God, I do pray that you bring increase to us today individually, but collectively, Father, I pray that we get some understanding and some knowledge that maybe we think we may have, but Father, I pray that you take it deeper. And I do ask, Lord Jesus, that give us ears to hear today, that we really listen and that we receive your word with meekness, Father, and bless your holy name. Thank you for this time. I do pray a blessing over each household and over us as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse Ephesians 4 is right there on the board. And that verse says, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this is a verse, and there's a lot of things I'm going to probably say today that honestly, when I was preparing this, there's a very good chance that y'all are going to go, oh, I've heard that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And in a way may zone out or not really pay attention. What has happened for me these last 3 weeks as I've been kind of meditating on this, I've had the opportunity to really think about what we're talking about. So it's on my mind and on my heart, and it has done some changing inside me as a member of God's family, as one of his sons, as one of your brothers. And so I'm really hoping that you bear with me, be patient. And like the word says, love is kind and love is patient. And with love, just really listen this morning. Because I do believe that God wants to do a continued work in all of our lives, but a continued work in us collectively. And so I want you to get ready. I'm about to give you this powerful wisdom statement. You're going to get impressed. And the statement is this. Get ready. You know what you know. Yeah, you know what you know. I want you to think about it for a second. You understand what you really understand. No more and no less. What you really know is what you know. And what you get, that's what you get. Nothing else. We may think we know something. We may think we understand. We may think we get it. But we only know what we really know. And so think about this, like these last several weeks with the family, there's a very good chance that you husbands and wives, some enlightenment has happened, some changes have happened in your home based on the word that's come forth and changed your thinking on some things. And so you know some things now that maybe you didn't know 2 months ago about raising children, about being a spouse. Well, I want to take that same thought today about the family of God. Honestly, folks, we know what we know about the family of God. And so what we know is how we treat the family of God, how we treat one another, how we really handle the family of God. And like this verse here, let's look at it again real quickly. We grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, the body makes increase of itself, edifying itself in love. The body, the family of God, there's a work of God that takes place in us collectively that won't take place if we aren't really collectively united. And we go, and how do you find your place in the body? You get born again. If you're born again, you are in the family. You're in the family. But what I'm hoping, one of the things I'm going to show all of us this morning is there's a difference between knowing that you are a Christian, knowing that you're born again, to really understanding and grasping the reality. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. And that whole concept will start really more and more renewing our minds, how to live together and what to expect with each other and how to, like this one scripture says, edify one another. The joint thing, a joint, you know, is where two bones connect. And he uses this like with the physical body. And go with me here. You have about 209 or 206 bones in the adult body. And all those bones are connected by joints. They're different type of joints. Some are rotating. Some just go one direction or whatever. But that's what he's saying here. These joints were connected. And if you're a part of the body, you really are a part of the body. And you're connected. You're joined together. And again, I'm just sitting here in my mind thinking, I know there's going to possibly be someone go, yeah, we've heard it a million times. In Jesus' name, may it go deeper in us. See, again, I've had the opportunity for about 2 or 3 weeks to really think about this, and it's really, and I'm thankful, it's making, changing my outlook on the body of Christ. It's going deeper as far as the family. Towards you, when I'm looking and thinking about Christians, I'm thinking brother, I'm thinking sister, more so. I'm thinking family. I'm thinking father of them as this father of me type thing. And so the joint, and then in your own physical body, if something gets disjointed or out of joint, it's very real. There's pain, there's discomfort. And actually disjointed means separation. And that's what the scripture's talking about. He wants us joined together, united. And look at it. It says every member, every part is supplying something, making the body healthy and whole. There's another verse that says this, beholding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment and knit together, increases with the increase of God. There's an increase that takes place only through the body. There's an increase that takes place only through family unity. The power of unity we're going to look at in a minute is more powerful than possibly we really realize. And again, bear with me. We know what we know. We may think we know something. We may think we get it. But hopefully today we're going to all leave going, okay, I think I'm getting it a little bit more. The power of the unity is so powerful in the Word of God that it actually can drive back the forces of darkness. True unity in the family. True unity. Not just attending church. And so I want to look at it like this. I say, you know what you know. You understand what you understand. You get what you really get. In your family, your family, husband, wife, children, or whatever makes up your family, that family is being treated and handled the way you know how to do it. You can't do anything else. And that's why in these last 8 weeks, it's been the purpose of helping all of us learn through the gospel, submitting to the word, how to have healthier families, more productive families, more full of love in the way that God has designed it. And so with the church, with the family of God, and this is what I mean. If I have more of an attitude of, well, I attend church with so-and-so, and I go to church at Living Acts, and that's really about where my thought process, why I go to that church, compared to that's my family. I don't just go, he's just not a member of the same church. He's my brother. And so we're going to look into several scriptures that's going to build on that thing. How we view things, how we look at things is really how we affect them. And so again, you're probably handling your family's hopefully different than you did 8 weeks ago. And today, hopefully, a seed will be planted or watered that we collectively are going to be handling the family of God together differently than we have before. And again, that verse says that we increase, that we grow. And that Colossians verse talks about that we increase with the increase of God, or we grow with the growth of God. Where we are today as a family, God wants us to grow in this and get this and live in this harmonious state that everybody's longing for. Think about the terms family, brother, sister. Those terms are used all over the place for any type of organization almost. Mafia. They use the term family, right? Gangs, they feel like they're part of a gang or a family. They think that's their family. Sorority sisters, fraternity brothers, that type of thing. When firefighters or police officers, when they're interviewed on television and they've lost one of their coworkers, they always, it seems like, well, he was our brother. We were like family. He's our brother type thing. And then even in races, if you have the same color skin, people go, hey, brother, that type of thing. So these terms are used. Why are these terms used all over the place by humanity? It's because all of us want to be a part of something. We want to be connected. We want to feel like we belong. We don't want to just be in. We want to feel like I'm accepted. And folks, the biggest thing, the thing, because of the love of God that's supposed to do that is the family of God. If there's any place, if there's any organization that's supposed to do this, that when people come in, that they sense and they feel these people, there's what the Bible says, sincere love one for another, real love for one another. And again, the mentality of going to church, or I attend church, or that's where I go once a week, versus my family, God's family, my brothers and my sisters. It's really almost worlds apart. This one is routine and something we do. This one goes deep, and it changes how we live together. And I'm going to show you some verses where God has made it so clear, it's so important to his heart. So these terms, they're commonly used, family, brothers, sisters, they're used in a lot of situations. And what we as God's family, what we've got to do is make sure that just because they're thrown and used in all different situations, that they don't lose their power to the church. That the term family of God really has substance to our hearts, that it's reality. That forever we are going to be in the same household of God from here until forever. That the term brother really means more to us than, hey, brother, you know, that type of thing. We got to protect in our hearts and in our way of thinking these terms that are used in all these other different situations, that with the church, that the weight of them really hits our hearts. Amen? The Bible is full, clear over and over and over, that God wants us as his people to know. He wants us to know this and to get this and to understand this. He really wants his people to understand that we're brothers and sisters, that we're his children, and that he is our father. And all those terms mean family. All those terms mean family. The word family, as far as with us and God, isn't used that much. The term household is used a couple of times in some translations, and the family is used. But what I want to show you briefly is it's talked about over and over and over just for the simple fact that he's referred to as father, and we're referred to as brothers and sisters. All that means family. So how we look at something is it sets in motion how we treat it. Like I said, do I just attend church once a week with these people? Or in my heart, am I really getting, you're my brother, you're my sister. Is it getting in here? And as our minds get more and more renewed to this, we will see the treatment of the family as family. We will act differently. We will be together in a unity and a harmony that will get richer and deeper. As a man thinketh, so is he. As our thoughts will affect our actions and our belief system. And faith without works is dead. And as our faith builds in this whole realm, our actions are going to prove it. We're going to prove it. And it's not like it's not going on here. This is a great situation. Anybody who's been here any length of time and is really connected into this family, we're blessed. We've got a wonderful thing going on. But I'm presenting to you what the Word says, that we increase with the increase of God, that it builds and grows in our heart. How much more, husbands, you as fathers and husbands, what's in your heart for your family unit, what you desire for your children, for your spouse, what you long to see them accomplish, the things that are really in your heart as the head of that household. Wives, you as mothers and wives, the same thing, what's really in your heart for your family, what you desire for your children, what you hope and dream for your family. Folks, how much more? Our Heavenly Father, what's in your heart for your family? How much more? And what I'm going to show you is He's designed it that we can experience this how much more the more we get this together. It's not just a one-way thing for each member of the family. He has designed every joint supplying, every part bringing in. The love of God just shed abroad in the hearts, just moving and flowing in the family of God. That is one of the ways that He brings the reality of how much more our Father wants for His children. And again, hopefully I'll remember to explain the power of this upon the earth. Bear with me as I get repetitious. Going to church mentality will never get this. We'll never get this. Attending church, thinking, oh, I go to church with so-and-so, we'll never get this. Family of God, brothers and sisters, we have the same Father. We're the same body. We'll get this. And we will experience something that, again, everybody's longing for. They call gangs their family. They call mafia a family. They call it, those terms mean closeness. They mean intimacy. They're the terms that make people the most united. There's no other terms that can really get people to feel like we're together, we're in this together, than those terms. And those terms are from the heart of God for the church of God, for the people of God. That's His design. All through the Gospels, Jesus refers to the Father in many different ways. My Father, the Father, your Father, our Father. And let me just read a few of them to you. Jesus says things like this: let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Your Father. Jesus also said, pray then like this: our Father in heaven. He also said, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. And He also said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. Over and over and over, Jesus' message through the Gospels is referring to the Father. Not just His Father, but your Father, our Father. It's a message of He's wanting to beat it in the heads of the disciples. We're family. I want you to understand we're family. We're family. We have the same Father. I mean, you're my brothers type thing. And then Paul in the epistles, over and over and over, and I looked at this, and if you take the time, you can look at it too. Romans all the way through Titus and even going past that, every single one of those books starts with something like this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. He began every letter doing something like that. Why? Because once again, He understood, church, I need you. God needs us to understand we are family. He's our Father. He's just not our God. He's our Father. And so He started all these letters just reminding God's people, grace and peace be to you from God our Father. He's your Father. He's your Father. He's our Father. And again, if you think about the whole family unit, what it's supposed to be like, and some of us possibly, your experience with family is what it is. It was what it was. And that's why you know what you know, amen? And that's why he's wanting to impact our understanding. This is not just about going to church. It's not just about attending church. It's about being with my sons and daughters. It's about being with my children. It's about being with my family. It's more than just coming together so often and hearing a message. It's about my family. He really wants his people to get this. And that's what Jesus and Paul did over and over and over, reminding God's followers, God's people, I'm your father. I'm your father. I'm your father. I want you to get this. I'm your father. A lot of scriptures throughout the word, and I'm going to make sure I didn't miss nothing here. Oh, yeah. I do want to back up on here. In the world right now, I Googled it up. What's the population of the world? And it's approaching 7.2 billion people. And I forgot what website I looked at, but it's really kind of cool. You can sit there and the numbers are clicking. And it shows how many people are being born each day, how many are dying each day, how many were born this year so far, how many are dying this year so far, how the population of the earth has grown, I think, 47 million this year so far. So according to this one, it's 7.2 billion. Approaching 2 billion quickly. But to drive home my point again, of those 7.2 billion people, there's only two people on this earth that can say they have the same father as I have, my brother and my sister. 7.2 billion people, but there's only three of us that can say we have the same father. So you see, of 7.2 billion people, there's three people who are connected in a way that they're not connected to anybody else of the 7.2 billion people, right? We need to get, we're connected. We're not just saved, and we're not just born again. We're not just going to heaven. We're connected. The idea of Father, he wants it to go so deep in us that we understand, like me, my brother, and my sister, we have the same Father. If you're born again, we have the same Father. We have the same Father. We really are family. It's not just knowledge. It's reality. We are brothers and sisters. And I want to share this with you. When Jesus was resurrected, I think this is so cool. The first thing he says, you know, Mary comes to the tomb, and he opens up her eyes so she can see. She at first thought he was like a keeper of the cemetery, whatever. The first thing that's recorded that Jesus says after his resurrection is this. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Listen to what he said. The first thing he says, "But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What he said was his message. Your Father. It's in the heart of God for his people to get this. And the more we really get this, it's going to transform us. It's going to transform our living. It's going to transform our way of behaving. It's going to transform how we really see each other. It's going to remove the putting on the correct face and saying the right words and acting the right way to genuine, sincere love for each other. It's going to change us, folks. And there's power in that that we're going to look at in just a minute. Listen to some of these verses. I just randomly picked a few because there's so many, just again to reiterate what's on the heart of God. So he says these type of things in Romans 12 and Colossians 3. I'm going to just read them through. And again, with this in mind, this is the type of stuff all through the Bible. Many things are said. This is also what's said. This is infallible, inspired word of God, forever sealed in heaven. This is instruction. Again, you know, like you, what you want for your family, for your household, what's the depth of your soul for your children, how much more our Father, to the point that he gave clear directions on how to live and how to behave. And here's just some of them. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality, live in harmony with one another. Bear with me. Attending church mentality won't get to this point. We really won't. We will know that that's scripture. We will know that that's in there, and we will agree with it. But family mentality will lay hold of this, and we will start seeing it operating more and more together, every joint supplying, every part nourishing, until we increase ourselves in love, the Bible says. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one of you has a complaint against another, forgive each other. I love that. What instruction? If someone has a complaint, he's showing us, children, my sons, my daughters, I'm serious. I want y'all to live together, and I want y'all to live it in such a way that you don't get disjointed. You don't get divided. You don't get separated. I want you jointly fit together. And as you are growing in the Lord, and as you're maturing, each of you growing and maturing in the Lord together, we all have issues. We all have flesh. We all have things that we die to. And in the process, he's saying, be patient. Forgive. Consider the fact that they're going through things that you may have no clue about, but it's real to them. He's so serious about us getting this, and for a local fellowship to move deeper and deeper in this type of living together, there is power behind it. There is power behind it, and he wants it for his whole body. Now watch this. God has one family, one body. Amen? There's a universal body. And then you take this global body, and then you break it down and you go to America. There's part of that body in America. And then you take it down to Texas, and there's still it's one body, but there's a smaller part of the body. You take it into Tyler. You take it to live in Acts. Church, right here, this is our immediate family. We have a family, but this is our immediate family. And any immediate family that really lives this out more and more so, I'm telling you, there's going to be such he says, peace and harmony. We can't wait to be together. We can't wait to see each other. I mean, the real stuff, the real stuff. Not just we know we're supposed, but from the inside out, the changing of the heart to this stuff. Listen to these one another verses. Again, inspired word of God, this is what he wanted his people to get, to understand. Love one another. Prefer one another. Receive one another as Christ received us. Admonish, counsel, instruct one another. We can't do these things if we're not together. These things won't happen if we don't. Attending church does not do this stuff. Being a church member and just going once a week does not do these one another verses. Family of God will get there. Will get there. He will see to it that they'll get there. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Let me talk about that one for a second. That was their, what would you say? That was how they greeted one another. I know a lot of people would freak out on that. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I looked at different versions, and really what it boils down to for us, stuff like this. Greet with a warm greeting. A warm greeting. Special greeting to God's family. Greet each other in Christian love. So we may not go and kiss each other on the cheek in this society, but the principle is there. Greet one another. This sincere, man, it's good to see you, top stuff. The family mentality, we'll get there more and more and more. We'll get there. We'll get there. His love in our hearts shed by the Holy Spirit will get us there. And it will be so attractive for everybody who wants to fit in somewhere, who wants to feel like that they belong, that they really belong. By love, serve one another. I love this one too. It says, forbear one another in love. That word forbear means stuff like this. Make allowances for each other because you love. Don't we all need a break? I mean, seriously. Accept each other as you are, is what he's saying. Patiently put up with each other. Give each other a break sometimes. I mean, you know, and that's the beauty of it. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I mean, that's what love is, patient and kind and forgiving, and there's a reason for that. God's love is about, hey, brothers and sisters, treat your brothers and sisters the way you really want to be treated. Give each other a break. Quickly forgive. Quickly accept each other just as they are today. Support one another. Be tolerant with each other. And do not be hard on each other. That's what forbearing means. Don't be hard on each other. Forgive one another, edify one another, exhort one another, consider one another. Those are just some, those folks, again, just bear with me because I want to drive it home. If we keep the mentality of we just attend church, that these are people I know because I go to the same church, I'm saying I don't think we'll get there. Not like how he wants us to get there. But if we really understand his heart about him as father and we as family, that's going to transform our way of looking at such scriptures and how we treat each other. In a nutshell, with those type of things, what he's really saying is stuff like this. Our Father wants each one of us to be the biggest cheerleaders in each other's lives. He wants his family to be a place where any son, any daughter feels very accepted, very relaxed to be themselves. 1 Corinthians 13, you know it as the love chapter. I want to look at it just for a second. You know, it's used in marriages and weddings and all that, and it's very appropriate. But let's think about it in context. You got chapter 12, where Paul's writing, again, being inspired by God. So God is wanting to go, okay, let's talk about the giftings in the church, the ministries of the church, and the body, and everybody's is working together, and everybody's ministering, and everybody's doing all these things. Some may do miracles, some may do prophecies. All this is going on, and he goes into love one another. And he picks it back up with more of church ministry. So in context with that love, let's look at it just for a second. In that chapter, he says stuff like this: love is patient, love is kind. Think about this. We as God's people, as God's family, when we start really getting to the place more and more of every joint supplying, every part doing their part, and then when someone comes up and they have something to exhort or something to say, or they feel like that they have something to pray or to admonish, in that context, he says, when that's going on, my love in you is patient and kind about that. Because think, it's going to be pretty hard on people to do that kind of stuff. But in a family setting, when love is patient and kind, people are going to be more apt to do it, more apt to minister their part and to supply what they're supposed to supply to. Get this, love is not envious, and it doesn't boast. Again, think about like this in context. If someone comes up and they sing a song or they do bring a word or someone is preaching or whatever, and they've done a great job, and you find yourself kind of being jealous or envious, that's what he's talking about. In the family, no. Don't be envious of someone else who's ministered and, you know, they hit it out of the park type thing. In context, that's what this is talking about. Love doesn't boast. So say you get up here and there's something that you do. Say you actually, you feel like you have something that's been heavy on your heart and you want to share it with the family. And you get up here and you, God blesses it, his anointing is on you and it's power-packed. Love, you don't boast about it. Love doesn't boast about that. That's what he's talking about. Family context, the ministry of the body, joining together, and everybody supplying their part. And in that setting, my love in the family is kind, it's patient, it's not envious, it's not boastful, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it's not irritable. Here's another example of that. Someone gets up here and they fumble. And they get nervous or whatever, or they mix their words up like I do a lot of times. And if you find yourself out there irritated by that, it's not love. You're not loving me. That's what he's talking about. That kind of stuff, the family, and to a place where anybody knows, I gotta share something. And you can get up here with such ease and comfort, or in a small group or wherever, and you know that it's going to be received in love. There's not going to be envy or boastfulness. There's not going to be arrogance or irritability. But there's going to be patience and kindness. That's what he's talking about in that scripture. Come here, bro. When I was doing this and thinking about this, it made me think about different songs that I heard growing up. And there's these great, simple little songs, little choruses. But they have this power behind them. And I remember at different points in my life when we would sing these songs, we just felt it. We just felt the words of these songs really hitting us. And we sang them together, and it was heartfelt. And I'm going to get this brother to play one of these songs for you. And this song is very simple. You may know it, or you may have never heard of it. But I wanted it to play with this little message, in light of this message. And it's a simple prayer, and it's a proclamation. It's a declaration.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. There's only one God, only one King, only one body, and that's why we sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love.
You sing with me.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. There's only one God, there's only one King, there's only one body, and that's why we sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together.
Father, I pray for that. God, I thank you that it's your heart. God, I do thank you that we know that we've been accepted in the beloved, that we are your, if we're born again, we know that we've been adopted, that we are your sons and your daughters, that you are our Father. But Father, I pray that you will bind us together here. Pray that you bring unity to your church globally. And that includes us right here, Father. Lord, I pray that you take my meager effort and use it this morning to all of our understanding in our hearts and give us more of an understanding, more of a knowing of what your intention is and what your purpose is, Father, for your people. I do ask in Jesus' name, Father, bind us together. Bring it. Bring the love. And teach us, Lord God, even as these few scriptures have shown, it's not just going to come directly from you only. You've made it clear in your word, Father, that it comes through the body. It comes through one another. That we cannot stay just disjointed. We cannot keep harboring resentments or angers or hurts. That's the disjointment. That's the separation. I pray that you mend the body, Father. Mend the body. Mend your family. Mend the relationships. Bring restoration, Father. And like that one verse says, Father, if someone has something against another one, go to one another and forgive each other. I pray for the unity of the saints here. I pray, God, to teach us how to endeavor to keep the unity here, to protect it, to be intentional about being one as you and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I told you I wanted to talk to you briefly about the power of this. You know, there's a verse Jesus said, they're going to know that God sent me if you have love one for another. And I want you to think about that for a second. Jesus said, by God's love in us for one another, there's going to be a force to the world that he's going to make sure they know through that love, through that family, through that unity, through that oneness, that harmony, that peace that a group of God's people have. There's something about that that is only in his control and ability that he can use that to cause people to know that Jesus was sent by God. There's another verse in Psalms that says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, for there God commands a blessing. There's a blessing that God wants to pour out upon his family. It's a commanded blessing. And we will experience more and more of that blessing the more and more we really get into this mindset and this living, the more that we actually do this. Once again, church attendance versus family. I think one can get there and one cannot. And then lastly, because of those two examples, folks, we have no idea of the force behind the unity in the body that affects the kingdom of darkness. We have no idea. We have no idea the power behind a unified group of people in God that will take place upon a community in a region. We have no idea. But that's what he's talking about. He wants it for us. He wants it for his glory. He wants it because of his purpose. There's a power and a purpose. And the more we move into this, really move into this. And again, folks, the Bible says every joint. That means every one of us has a part to play. Your place in the body is to get hooked up. Every part supplies. And it's not just the examples I gave. It's being together and loving each other and serving one another. It's many things. It's living as a family. Again, what you want for your family, how much more our Heavenly Father wants it for his family, for us. And with that, one thing that we offer, like most churches do, is I want to encourage y'all about the small groups. I'm involved in one, and I got to tell you, I don't know anything about the other ones, so this isn't anything against. I just want to give God some honor with what he's doing in the one I know about. We're blessed. And we're getting blessed more and more and more. And I, in my heart, I can speak for myself, I'm feeling more and more family with that group. I want to encourage y'all, find it. Find it. And the love of God, this is what the love of God will do in our hearts, folks. It will cause you not to want to stay away, but you will want to be with the family. You will want to fellowship. And for some of us, that's hard for different reasons. But our emotions cannot override what God says he wants for his family. Amen? This is what he wants. And so if there's a growth group, but it's not on the night that you can make it, please talk to Bob. Bob, will you raise your hand just so he's over the growth group ministry. If you want to become a part of one and we don't offer one that works in your schedule, talk to him. And I'm pretty sure this leadership will work towards making something happen because this is the heart of God. So make us one, Jesus. You know what the crazy thing is? We are one. Here's what's crazy, and I'll stop after this. The children of God really are in the family. So that's done. But as you look at these scriptures and other scriptures, one of the things that God wants to point out, but you need to work it out. You need to live it out. You need to enjoy it. You're in the family. You are a part of this unity. But you need to make sure that you are enjoying it together. God has so much for his people. So much for his people. And this is one of the big keys, is the family of God. We are brothers. We are sisters. And it will become more real to... Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Amen.